Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. The crux of the show today, folks, we'll be touching on Money in the Bank. We'll be touching on SmackDown this Friday. But we're also going to be taking a deep dive into if the WWE specifically and pro wrestling generally is in trouble. Because I think a very strong argument can be made that they are. Before we start, however, I do want to make a disclosure, and that is, over the last couple of days, my thoughts and feelings for the business of professional wrestling has changed dramatically. And for that reason, I issued a public statement so that all of the people who follow me on my social media, including a lot of the indie wrestlers and maybe even a few that aren't indie, as well as fans, will fully understand. And for the benefit of those people who did not get to read it, I'm going to read it to you now. It's not going to drastically change this show. But I do think it's important that everyone listening understand where I'm coming from now, because where I'm coming from now is not where I was coming from last week. So this is my statement. I'll keep it short. So I guess the time has come to announce to everyone that I am no longer a quote-unquote wrestling fan. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop watching it. It doesn't mean I'm going to stop doing this show. It means I'm no longer what the industry would deem a fan. I guess I'm more of an observer or an analyst, I suppose. That'll probably come as quite a shock to those who know me best and know that once I lived, breathed, and ate it, as well as several of you who have actually shared a ring with me. And trust me, I still totally respect the hard work and dedication that goes into it. But the business has changed. And we now seem to have an inordinate number of whiners, snobs, elitists, and political activists who somehow have been taught that they are above criticism, they're owed opportunities instead of earning them, and they find it perfectly acceptable to vilify anyone, whether they be fans or workers, who do not subscribe to their exact ideologies. When workers making huge paychecks can now take to social media and literally isolate half of the fans and their fan base by spewing out their personal political thoughts, as if knowing how to sell a move somehow makes them smarter than the rest of the planet, I'm done. Pro wrestling, by its very nature, was never meant to be politically correct. And those playing a role in the business should never use that character to espouse their personal thoughts. We've reached the era where everyone's acting like spoiled kids who built a clubhouse, and they want control over who gets to enter it. So with all due respect to all the wonderful workers on my friends list, I respectfully say, you aren't any smarter than me. I'm not some 15-year-old fanboy who blindly accepts anything a wrestler says because they think you're cool. I'm a very well-educated and very well-versed in the subjects that I choose to opine on. And you won't see me talk about things I'm not well-versed on, because all I could really give you is my opinion and what would it be worth if I'm not well-versed on it. But I also do not expect to be treated with disrespect from those I already know have less actual knowledge on the subject than myself. Lately, it seems a favorite phrase of most of these wrestlers, if you haven't done what we do, you can't criticize it. Well, I could turn that around and say, if you don't have the knowledge I do about certain issues, then you shouldn't be criticizing me. That's pretty much the same thing as you saying you can't be criticized by people who haven't stepped in the ring. Of course, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I'm not saying that people aren't entitled to their opinion. I'm saying you aren't entitled to act as though anyone else's opinion is irrelevant or wrong when they clearly do not have the facts correct. I listened today, which was actually a couple days ago, as numerous WWE wrestlers decided to call other people insulting names based upon their opinions. And I've decided that I no longer wish in any way, shape, or form to give my time or money to people who would literally do that. Nor my support. So from this moment on, I'm going to continue to be an observer and an analyst of professional wrestling. And I'm going to continue to report on it. And I'm going to continue to critique it as I see fit. But my days of being a fan ended a couple of days ago. And that's sad. And I hope that at some point in the future that it may change. But for right now, I don't have much hope. So I'm just going to start with that so everybody understands. I refuse to put up with this any longer. I refuse to listen as characters, not human beings. When I post something as Marcus Kane, it's coming from me. If I had a wrestling character named The Great Gazoo, then I wouldn't be posting anything as The Great Gazoo because that character isn't really a person, the character you've come to know me as. And that character should not have those opinions because you're isolating half of your fan base. I don't care how mad you are at this or that. I don't care who you think should be the president. I don't care what rights or lack of rights you think somebody should have. Shut up. Go do it on your own account, on your own time, in your own name. And stop telling people who disagree with you that they're idiots or they're this or they're that, because they're not going to give you their money anymore. They're not going to give you their support anymore. And I don't want to come off sounding whatever, but I will put my intellect and my knowledge on political matters up against anyone in the WWE at any time, let alone on the independent circuit. So you getting on there, and because you can do a good super kick, you think that somehow you have better political knowledge and information than me, you're incorrect. You're incorrect. And you don't get to tell me how I should think in order to continue to be your fan. So therefore, I'm not your fan. Therefore, I'm looking at professional wrestling through the eyes of an analyst. And I thought it would be fair to tell everyone, because when I first started the show, I said I wanted to be the voice of the fans. I cannot be the voice of the fans going forward because I'm not a fan. I'm an analyst. I'm someone who's done it. So I think I'm a good analyst. And I'm someone who understands the business, so I think I'm a good analyst. But I cannot look at it from a fan's perspective, because now the prerequisite for being a fan is not that you enjoy my performance. It's that you never critique me. You believe politically what I believe. You believe morally and socially what I believe. And if I tell you something is right, you don't have to fact check it. You just blindly believe and follow me. The WWE and all of professional wrestling is not a cult, and you are not my leader. I don't have to do any of those things. Anyway, Mike, that's where I'm coming from now. It's a shame. I've been a fan for a long time, but basically all this means is I'm not going to go to live shows and give them my money. I'm not ordering any more merchandise. I'm certainly going to watch them on TV. I'm certainly going to watch the pay-per-views. I'm not buying any more memorabilia. I'm done with this because I'm not giving my money to people who constantly and completely disrespect others' opinions.
Right, and I'm not quite there yet, where you are yet, Marcus. But look, I've been a fan for a while, and up until this point, I would assume that you've been a fan for a while, or else you wouldn't have gotten into the business, right? If you weren't a fan,
forever, yeah, so, absolutely.
So I've been a fan for a while. I've been a fan for going on 3 decades, more than that, more than probably 4 or 5 decades, you know, because I started out in the early 80s, right? Late 70s, early 80s as a fan. So I'm not quite where you are yet, but I'm getting there. You know, I'm getting to the point of where at one point I've told this story before. At one point, Marcus, I had a friend that before I had gotten cable, I didn't have to go to people's houses to watch Raw and Nitro, right? So I'm sitting out there watching and waiting for the guy to come home so I could go to his house. I'm sitting across from his house waiting for the car to come home with him in it for me to go and watch Raw and SmackDown, Raw and Nitro. And later on, it'd be Thunder and SmackDown, you know, Thunder on Thursdays,
right,
and SmackDown on Wednesdays or Fridays or whatever it was. I was waiting. I was waiting for him to show up. That's how much of a fan I was. I wanted to watch those things, and I was enjoying those things. And back then, look, we didn't know where Vince McMahon stood. We didn't know where Stone Cold or The Rock or Mick Foley or any of those people Alundra Blaze or Bull Nakano or whatever, any of those people, we didn't know where they stood. Sting, Rick Steiner, any of those people, we didn't know where they stood. And we liked it because...
And Mike, we still shouldn't know where they stand because, truthfully, it doesn't matter and shouldn't matter. In other words, you have the right to your opinion, and if somebody said, well, I happen to be on, I don't know, Becky Lynch's real account, her personal, not her WWE account, her personal account with her friends and family, and I happen to know that she's very left-wing or she's very right-wing, that's fine. That's fine. She has a right to be whichever one she wants. Here's what she doesn't have a right to do. She doesn't have the right to take to Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or wherever else as Becky Lynch, who's a character, and say, this is my belief. Because then half of the people who do not believe that are no longer your fans, and they're not going to give you any money. Not because you believe differently than them, but because you mock the people who do. In other words, if someone came out and said, this is what I believe, and I believe it with my whole heart, and I think that people really need to reconsider if they don't agree. However, I understand if you don't agree, and I understand that everyone's life experiences are different, and I respect that. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem when people take to Twitter and call legendary people in this business scumbags, losers, everything else, in character, because you're butthurt over something you don't even understand. And then when people who are more educated than you on the subject attempt to correct you, you call them names because you look like a fool. And if it's just one person, then you're like, okay. No, it's not one person. We now have a locker room divided, except that 99% of the locker room believes the same thing. But that doesn't matter. Because if this is now going to be an industry where you have to believe something, you have to believe in a certain ideology to be their fan, that's called a cult. That's what that's called. You either believe everything that we as your supreme rulers believe, or you are extradited. Okay, well, I've been extradited. I don't need to be a fan to comment on what you do. I've done what you do. And I don't need to be a fan to analyze what you do. I'm very well versed in what you do. And I can be objective, unlike you. So if you're someone who has the belief that because I believe something, I'm an idiot, I'm an asshole, I'm a scumbag, I'm this, that, and the other thing, I can still say they had a really, really good match. Because in theory, I'm morally better than you. I'm able to do that, and you're not. That makes me an adult, and that makes you a child. And when the adults are in the room, the children should probably shut up and listen, but unfortunately, the children want to scream. So, this is where it has landed me. I now consider myself a wrestling analyst. I observe and I report on what I see, and I do that 100% fairly and unobjectively. But if you're coming to me with, didn't you get chills when this happened? Don't come to me with that anymore, because the answer is no, I didn't. That's gone from me. They've taken it away from me, piece by piece, bit by bit, and I don't see it coming back. So you won't see me wearing wrestling T-shirts and running around to conventions and glad-handing wrestler. You're not going to see that anymore. This is a part of the industry. It's called reporting, and that's what I do. Part of that reporting is watching all the stuff and reporting on it. That's what I do. And I'm sure there's going to be matches that I say, oh, that was awesome. And I'm sure there's going to be matches that I say, man, was that ever garbage? But that's coming from a different perspective now. It's coming from my perspective as an analyst and maybe not your perspective as a fan. And that's why I wanted to full disclosure, because I know a lot of people follow this because they say, well, you're like the ultimate fan. You kind of voice what we are frustrations. Maybe I'm not going to be able to do that anymore because I can't continue to support this business as a fan. Tom, what's your thoughts?
I think you're making the right decision, Marcus. I mean, you know, it's now become absolutely ridiculous that the wrestlers are using they're not using their real names, they're using their character names, which is an intellectual property of the WWE, using their name to post their opinions. I understand freedom of speech, but it's actually illegal when you're doing it on somebody else's time, especially the people you're working for. I'm sorry, but you can't work at Walmart and be the door greeter and say, vote for Trump. You can't do it. You'll be fired. So why is it acceptable for these wrestlers to do it online on social media? In my opinion, to be honest with you, I think social media has ruined professional wrestling. And the crybabies that are calling, I'm going to say it, Kane is now a politician. Glenn Jacobs is now a politician.
Right.
He's not commenting as Kane. He's commenting as Glenn Jacobs. He's a person.
Correct.
He's out of wrestling. He's commenting as a person and as a politician. He has a perfectly legal right to do that because he's a politician. He didn't do it as Kane. Crybabies are saying
exactly right. I mean, what would happen if what the hell would happen if we got a I don't know who's a famous TV personality for a character? Let's say Ed O'Neill. Ed O'Neill comes out as Al Bundy and says, "I support gun rights." Well, that's not Al Bundy. And the people who liked Al Bundy, who don't support gun rights, is now going to say, well, I guess. And anyone who doesn't is a moron and a scumbag. Are you going to keep watching Married with Children? It's perfectly fine for Ed O'Neill to do it. Ed O'Neill is not Al Bundy. But, folks, this is going to take us into a whole different thing, and that is why the wrestling business itself is in trouble. You know, the wrestling business was on its last legs when Vince McMahon finally admitted this is sports entertainment. The majority of the fans were, in fact, marks. The majority of the fans were people who said, well, I think it's real. And all of the other people were shying away from professional wrestling because they were saying, I don't want to be lumped into that crowd of idiots who think it's real. It's okay for little kids' entertainment. But if you're 20 years old and you think this is real, I don't want to be lumped in as a fan of that because then people will think I'm stupid too. It's fun, but it's stupid fun, and I don't want to be considered stupid. Well, when Vince McMahon said this is just entertainment at this point, then everybody became a fan because it was safe to be a fan. you could say, oh, well, he openly admitted it's not real. So now we can enjoy it for what it is. And while everyone was saying, including myself, that was a brilliant move, I did in the back of my mind say, unless it goes too far. It's now gone way too far. Because now you literally have people who say, well, you know I'm a character, and my greatest fame is as that character. So I'm going to use my fame as that character to preach my own political ideologies, which in turn isolates a portion, whether it's 10%, 20%, 50%, or 80% of your fan base, and it's counterproductive. The great Alice Cooper once said, I could give you my political opinion, but what does it really matter? If you're taking your political opinions from a musician, you're already lost. Just come and enjoy the show. That's the proper response. If you want to dig deep into Alice Cooper, you'll find out, yeah, he's more conservative type guy. But he never preaches it. He never forces it upon you. And he clearly says, I have fans of all different ideologies, and I'm glad for it. And I would never tell them what to believe. Likewise, Elton John, who said virtually the same thing. Whether you're right-wing conservative or left-wing radical, you're sitting in my audience and you're accepting me and my lifestyle, and you're here to have a good time and listen to me. How can I possibly not appreciate you? How can I possibly not appreciate you? It's not my job to tell you what to believe. It's my job to entertain you. Bingo. Bingo. Because both of those guys have more brains than an ice cube. And this is part of the reason why the WWE and all wrestling's in trouble. Because I sit down to watch wrestling and I say, am I going to be inundated with ridiculousness, political ideologies, people, you know, posting on their Instagram accounts, well, I think this and I think that and this is horrible, and then I'm supposed to cheer for them? How about if I think it's a woman's right to choose in all circumstances, always, and it shouldn't be anyone else's decision but the woman, and one of my favorite wrestlers says, abortion's murder, and if you think it isn't, you're an evil, horrible, terrible scumbag of a human being. Am I supposed to cheer for that person now? Am I supposed to buy that person's T-shirt? Am I supposed to, you know, go to the arena and can't wait to see them? Or the reverse. How about if you say, well, I think all abortion is murder, and if you disagree with me, then I think you're a child murderer. How am I supposed to then root for that person if I believe the other? This is nothing of your concern. Keep it away from your actual business life. Why do you think the professional wrestling industry, I'm tired of people saying it's the best time ever to be a professional wrestling fan. No, it's not. If it's the best time ever to be a professional wrestling fan, then how come you can add up all of the ratings for all of the shows and they do not equal one Monday Night Raw during the Attitude Era? You have lost half your fan base, if not more than half of your fan base. And that's the whole entire business of professional wrestling, not just the WWE. AEW can't draw flies. There are reruns of the Andy Griffith Show drawing as much as their Friday night show. Oh, but it's a great time to be a wrestling fan. No, it's not, because wrestling is different now. And it's not just political ideologies. It's other ideologies. We heard how Booker T said Adam Cole needs to gain a little weight And instantaneously, the sharks are circling. Oh, that old bastard should shut up with his sucky-ass, sucky-ass podcast. Shut his ugly mouth and stop body-shaming us. Grow the F up. There are high school girls who outweigh you, Adam Cole, and I'm supposed to believe you're a tough guy? You don't look the part, and you're an actor. Get over it. Don't tell me you're not an actor. I'm tired of that nonsense, too. What are you, then? If you're not an actor, what are you? You're in the ring pretending to fight. You're pretending not to like somebody you're going to go out to dinner with. You're pretending your name is somebody else. You're wearing clothes you normally wouldn't wear. You're saying things you normally wouldn't say. That's not an actor? What the hell is it, then? And you're an actor that doesn't look the part, and Booker T is 100% right. But even if Booker T was 100% wrong, your response should have been, I respectfully disagree with you. I understand you've been there, done that, and everything. And I certainly value your opinion. But I do think it's a new era, and I don't think necessarily that the larger-than-life guys of the past are going to be flying in today's professional wrestling. That's just my opinion. I understand yours and I respect it. But at the same turn, I wish you would understand mine and respect it. That's all. That's all that needs to be said. And then everybody says, okay, well, Adam Cole feels he doesn't need to be that way. Booker T was trying to give him some advice. That's all. No bad words are exchanged. Oh, no. Can't have that. Instantaneously, Booker T's worse than Hitler. He's body shaming. He must apparently hate all white people. Please, just knock it off already, okay? I'm so tired of this entitled, snobby, elitist attitude with people that I'm really ready to throw up. Knock it off. If someone who has been there and done that gives you some advice, my advice would be to listen. But if you reject that advice, at least be polite and say, I respect you. I understand where you're coming from. You may even be right. But from my perspective, I want to do this my way. That's fair. But we can't have that anymore. We don't live in a society anymore, Todd, where you can do that.
You're absolutely right, Gary. Like you said, when Booker T was just giving Adam Cole some advice about his body, put a little muscle on his body and everything, and right away Adam Cole and Hangman and Page start running their mouths about Booker T talent, just giving them a voice.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, everyone's free to either take the advice or not take the advice, Mike, but to really, you know, to have to get personal and nasty and accuse people of being old and have sucky podcasts and everything else, that's childish behavior.
That really is childish behavior. And frankly, his, I don't know if it's his wife or his girlfriend or fiance, whatever Britt Baker is, she looks more the part than he does. Think about it, than Adam Cole does. And frankly, as far as going, one more thing about going back to the what they feel and think. Think about this, the wrestlers and stuff. When the Iraq Wars first started, and people like, I don't know, the Dixie Chicks came out against it. What's happened to the Dixie Chicks? Where are they now?
Right.
All right.
Exactly.
You know what's happened to all the people that have. What has happened to all the people that have come out against President Trump? All these actors like Johnny Depp, who just got finished with his trial, and all these people that, oh, what was her name? My Life on the Legal List, when she held up that seventh head of President Trump. That was a political statement, right?
Right.
What happened to her?
Kathy Griffin. Yeah. Well, again, that's right, because what ends up happening is this. No matter who you are, you're going to have a fan base of mixed people. I'm sure there's people listening to this show right now who are pro-Trump. There's some that are anti-Trump. There's some that are pro-life. There's some that are pro-choice. Never one time have I said to any of you people, if you don't believe what I believe, politically, you're an idiot. I've never said that. This is a wrestling show. We can discuss professional wrestling. My opinions on politics, you want my opinions on politics? I have a show where I give my opinions on politics. You want to debate me there about it? I'll debate you there about it. This is not the time, and everyone is welcome. And everyone's thoughts are welcome when it comes to professional wrestling. Because that's what I'm doing here. If I meet a fan, as I did the other day, by the way, it was nice to bump into somebody who listens to the podcast. I didn't ask him, well, before we talk, who are you voting for? I don't do that. Who does that? Children? Like I said, is this a clubhouse where you have to all believe the same thing and say the secret password before you get in? Are you insane? Everyone's experience in life is different. Therefore, people are going to come to their own conclusions based upon their own experiences, and I'm not going to invalidate any of those experiences. My problem is not with people who disagree with me. My problem is with people who openly do not understand facts and call people who are obviously more educated than themselves idiots because they don't believe what they believe. If someone comes to me and says, I don't care what you say, I have pink polka dot grass, and I think all grass is pink polka dot, I'm going to tell them, you have the right to your opinion, but that's not a fact. You don't have pink polka dot grass. You may have something wrong with your eyesight. You may be having an illusion. You may be on an acid trip. But grass is not pink polka dot. And if they then say, well, you're a scumbag, loser, idiot, moron, because everyone knows that's true, well, I'm not going to keep dealing with that person. That person's obviously knows nothing. And why am I arguing? I'm not going to discuss the color of an orange. If you say it's purple, fine. You think it's purple, but it's not. But when people are so self-assured that their knowledge is absolute when their knowledge is, in fact, very limited, I don't need to be insulted by those people. Someone calls this show and says, hey, man, you know, I'm an opera expert, and I wanted to tell you who the greatest opera singer in the world is. I'm going to take your word for it. I don't know nothing about opera. Maybe I'd agree with you. Maybe I would disagree with you. I don't know if I listen to it, but I don't know what to tell you. But for me to say, well, I only know one opera singer, so I'm going to pretend that I'm an expert. And I'm going to say, well, it's Luciano Pavarotti, or you're a scumbag loser. That doesn't make me more intelligent. That makes me an idiot. Listen to the person who knows more and learn from them if that's what you want to do. But that's not all that's involved in professional wrestling now that's going bad. We have people now who clearly can do things like MJF where he literally says, I'm not honoring my contract. And that is not a gimmick and that is not a work. MJF literally said, I want to renegotiate my contract in the middle of a contract. I have never heard of anyone at any time, anywhere, who literally says, I'm not performing. I'm literally going to violate my contract unless you rewrite it for more money because I don't want to work for this money when you signed it. You signed it. Let me ask you a question. Here's what I want you to do. Go on eBay and buy something. And say, yes, I'll pay $20 for that History of WrestleMania DVD, shrink-wrapped. And then once it's bought and purchased, say, I'll give you $8. I don't want to pay $20. Well, you just clicked that you're buying it for $20. Yeah, but I'm not. I want to renegotiate with the seller. I want to give you $8. See how that flies? Number one, you'd be kicked off eBay. And you ain't getting no wrestling DVD. MJF literally blackmailed his way into getting more money in the middle of a contract. That would have never happened years ago. They would have told him, hit the road. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. But he can do it. Then we have another problem, and that problem is wrestlers get to the top of the mountain and then say, yeah, but I don't want to do this. I don't know how long Roman Reigns has busted his ass to get to the top of the mountain, dealing with people who hated him when he's supposed to be a face, dealing with issues of health and coming back from it, dealing with hostile crowds who are supposed to be cheering him and they're booing the hell out of him and chanting Roman suck. He finally gets to where he wants to be and says, yeah, but I don't want to do it. Now I achieved what I want to achieve, and now I want to be a Hollywood star, and I think I want to work a very, very, very reduced schedule, and I don't really want to put any effort into this anymore. Well, what were you struggling to get to then? Once you achieve top stardom like you did, that's your time to say, and now, for the next couple of years, I'm going to be the top dog and enjoy every day of it and really take this federation to new heights. John Cena did. John Cena eventually went to Hollywood, yes, but how many years did John Cena put in when he was clearly the top draw in professional wrestling? He didn't get to that apex and then say, now that I achieved that apex, I don't want to do this anymore. The Rock kind of did, but Cena didn't. Cena eventually did. But Cena had the excuse of, well, I'm getting a little bit older. Roman Reigns is not old. Then you have the guys like Brock Lesnar who say, I don't really want to do this at all. But if you want to give me enough money, I'll show up, give, decent effort, and whatever. If they don't even want to be there, how do you want the fans to be there? No one is showing that they are literally living, breathing, sleeping, and eating professional wrestling anymore. That's why Cody Rhodes coming over here was such a big deal, because Cody Rhodes, whether you like him or not, his very first speech, he basically said that. This is my dream. This is the only thing I've ever wanted to do. It's the only thing I still want to do. And this is my life. There's not a moment of the day that my life isn't professional wrestling. Well, okay. Well, then that's why you're the number one face, hurt or not. And he proved it by wrestling with a pretty substantial injury. We don't have anybody like that. And I'm going to be fair. I love Bray Wyatt, but Bray Wyatt's the same way. Bray Wyatt doesn't love wrestling, or he'd be wrestling. Do you honestly think, in your wildest dreams, that Bray Wyatt is missing wrestling, and that's why he's asking for more money than anyone would ever give him for any reason? Think about it. If he missed wrestling so much, he would say, well, I'll take a fair offer. He wouldn't price himself completely out of the market to the point where it's basically saying, I don't want to wrestle. I don't like it anymore. I don't want to do it. But if you give me this much money, then I guess I'll bite the bullet and do it, even though I'm really not into doing it. Who's going to give you that money with that attitude? Did you ever, I don't know what people's life experiences are, but I recently had a tree fall on my house. And it landed in a very weird position, folks. And taking a look, it was a large tree, and it did some damage. And I'm looking at it saying, I don't know how they're ever going to cut this up. I don't know how they're ever going to pull this off the house, even professionals. I called one professional. He looked at it aghast. Called on the phone, talked to some people, took pictures, everything. You could clearly tell he didn't want to do it. You could clearly tell this was way above his range, and he didn't want to work that hard. So you know what he told me? This is going to cost you about $3,000. I said, $3,000 to take one tree off my roof? I'll call somebody else. Well, I called up a tree service who did it for $600 in a half hour. So what is it that you think that guy who quoted me $3,000 really meant? What he really meant was, I don't want to do it. I just don't want to do it. So I will quote you a price that's so high, you're probably not going to take it. But if you do take it, at least I get a payday. That's what Bray Wyatt's doing right now. No one's going to give Bray Wyatt what he's asking. And he knows that. So no, don't tell me Bray Wyatt misses professional wrestling. He can go on his Twitter account and say that. Daniel Bryan once said, if I got fired, I'd wrestle somewhere for free if I had to. That's how much I love it. Mets broadcaster Keith Hernandez said, in all honesty, I loved baseball so much. Obviously, I wanted to be paid as much as possible, but what they didn't know was I probably would have showed up for free. That's people who love it. We don't have that many of them anymore, Mike. We're getting to the stage now where people are like, there's a million other things I'd rather do now that I got famous, but if you really, really want me, then I'll price myself so high that even I would reluctantly come do it again if you give me that much money. How is that supposed to be something fans can sink their teeth into?
Right. And think about this. Alundra Blaze, Medusa, has all but said that she wants to come back and manage somebody, maybe in the WWE. But right now, she's basically a booker for the women's division in NWA, NWA Power. She obviously loves wrestling, right? She obviously loves wrestling in terms of wanting to do it, wanting to even, at her age, at 50, whatever she is, wanting to come back and be a manager, you know, in the WWE, but they don't want to, but they have a animus against her or whatever because of what she did earlier on in her career, but she obviously loves wrestling. That's somebody that loves wrestling, that wants to be in wrestling, that they're not given a chance, you know?
And there needs to be more people put in there that wants to actually wrestle. Yes, you have to pay them fairly. Yes, you have to pay them competitively. But that has to be based upon not just their performance, but their love of the actual business. Because if you just hire a bunch of people who say, well, you met my price line, that's like a prostitute. You go to a girl and say, hey, you want to sleep with me? No, you're not my type. $500? No. What do you think I am? $10,000? You're better mine. Well, okay, well, then you're a prostitute. Doesn't matter how much money you took. You're doing something you didn't want to do for money. Well, that's how I feel about some of these wrestlers. They're like, I really, really, really don't want to wrestle. I really, really, really don't want to put in the effort anymore. I have all kinds of other things. I'm a Hollywood star, and I want to do a podcast, and I want to be a gourmet chef, and I want to open up a bar, and I want to do whatever. But if you really want to drag me back, I guess I can come up with a price that I'd be willing to endure this ridiculousness for. I don't need you. I don't need you. And if I was Vince McMahon, that's exactly what I would say. I don't need you. I want the guy that's calling me saying, do you have a spot for me? I'd love to work for your business. Is there something I can do? Can I do a match? Can I do a run-in? Can I do a spot, whatever it happens to be? Maybe I can earn a better paycheck. But I want to be there. Now, I've never questioned Roman Reigns' work ethic. Roman Reigns' work ethic has been fantastic. But he has clearly told the world, I don't want to do this anymore full time. And that's all well and good. Maybe your health issues we don't know about. Maybe you just have come to the point in your life where you say, I want to enjoy my money while I'm not crippled. Your reasons are your reasons. And no one's telling you you have to do anything. But then if that is the ruling, drop the belt. Do your part-time work. Be a manager or once in a while show up here and there. Do a spot. Be like Brock Lesnar and just show up once in a blue moon. Brock Lesnar clearly said, I don't really want to do this, but if you're going to hand me millions of dollars, then I guess I will. I don't want to fight freaking, Conor McGregor. But I got news for you. If somebody from the UFC called me and said, hey, Marcus, will you fight Conor McGregor for $1 million? Show me where. But that doesn't mean I love the UFC. It means that I'm willing to do it for $1 million. Big difference. Now I'm a musician. If somebody said to me, hey, we're, nobody's getting paid, but we're all going to be jamming. There's a whole bunch of bands jamming, and we're going to get a whole bunch of people. And if that, I'll be there. I'll be there because I love it. Now, I'm not going to do it if some club owner says, I'm going to charge $35 per ticket so you ain't getting nothing. No, that's not the way that's going to work. But for the rest of my life, I will be playing some sort of music. I will have something to do with the music business. So the real heroes in this are the people who stay with it. The real people are the people who say, well, when I can't do it in the ring anymore, I'm going to move to an agent or a talent scout. AJ Styles has said that. AJ Styles said, I hope that I have a career outside the ring with WWE because that's what I'd love to do. I'd love to stay here and be a trainer, a talent scout, an agent, whatever they want me to be. I think I could do it. Okay, well, then he probably loves the business. Now, he said, I would like to have a reduced schedule, too, because of his age at 45. Well, I have news. They've given him a reduced schedule, but they've also given him a reduced worth. AJ Styles isn't even in Money in the Bank. He's no longer a big contender for anyone's belt. He clearly knows what his job is. Well, if Roman Reigns wants that job like AJ Styles, then he has to be demoted into the mid-card too. Because you can't have a champion that does this. It's just not good. We've tried it with Brock Lesnar. It doesn't work. So, Tom, that's a problem. I mean, at this stage of the game, they're trying to bank on wrestlers who don't necessarily really want to do it.
Yeah, and they should really stop that, honestly. I mean, because you know who loses out in the long run? The fans. Because if the wrestlers they get say publicly they don't want to do it, that means they're going to mail it in, and the fans who are paying for them not wanting to do it are getting ripped off. And why would you pay to see a magician more than once? If you already know how he does his tricks, then why are you going to pay him to see him once? Come on. I don't want to see – I'm sorry, but, you know, all due respect for people who are fans of Brock Lesnar, I don't care anymore. He was the next big thing back in 2003. He walked out of WWF. I never warmed up to Brock Lesnar after he came back because I don't care. He said publicly he didn't want to do it. He wanted to do something else. They threw a whole bunch of – you know, zeros in his paycheck. So he comes back for 5 minutes and does an F5, smiles into the camera, and then walks away. And then doesn't show up for...
I was okay with Brock Lesnar coming back as a face because it had been a very long time since we'd seen Brock Lesnar as a face. And on top of that, you had a very interesting storyline where his former mentor there, Paul Heyman, his visor, was against him. So it was a fascinating story to see how it played out. But that story played out. The story is over. What are you going to do now? Divide the belts between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, both part-timers? Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. It's not, folks. This is why the WWE, you can talk all about the lawsuits you want. I understand. John Laurinaitis is probably out of the company, almost definitely out of the company. Vince McMahon's now being investigated by 40 different agencies for apparently it's against the law to separate with your wife secretly and sleep with somebody else and give them money, your own money. I don't know when that became illegal, but okay. So he's being investigated for that. Laurinaitis is probably out. People are coming forward. By the way, I have no respect. Let me just say this. This is probably going to be controversial too. That's why people listen to the show. I know it's controversial, but at least I'm telling you what I think is the truth. I don't have any respect for divas or professional wrestling women, whichever one they happen to be at the time, who say, well, yes, that's true. The whole time I was there, I was sexually harassed. Well, why didn't you leave? Because that's what I do. If I was working for a company filled with women, and every single day of my life when I walked into work, they sexually harassed me, I said, not only am I leaving, I'm going to the police. Because there are other places I can ply my trade. And I'm not going to be harassed. So don't give me the 20 years ago, I was so miserable that I signed 3 contracts. I don't like that. That doesn't play with me. But irregardless of that, at least we know one thing. The locker room is divided on that. The locker room is clearly divided on politics, even though I think it swings way, way in the favor of the left wing. You got people saying, if you don't agree with me, you're a scumbag, but you're going to work with that person. And you're telling fans, if you don't agree with me, you're a scumbag, but you want that fan to cheer for you or boo you or buy your merchandise. Think about it. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go open up your lemonade stand, and I want you to put a big sign on it that says, don't stop at this lemonade stand unless you hate Donald Trump. And you have to say, I hate Donald Trump before I will pour you this lemonade. And see how quickly no one's going to buy your lemonade, probably not even the left, because they're going to say, hey, I don't know if I trust that guy. Maybe pissed in the lemonade, who knows. But all you're going to do is take half your customer base right off the top. Instead of selling 100 glasses of lemonade, you're selling 50. You think that's smart business? How about if everybody who stops for your lemonade says, you say, well, you're an idiot. I see you have a sticker that says Metallica. Metallica sucks, you know. Why do you got a Metallica sticker on your car? What are you, a freaking poser? Are they going to buy your lemonade? I don't think so. So every single one of the wrestlers who are doing that are morons. But they got triggered, and they couldn't control themselves because they're children. Living a fantasy world where my character is really me. Remember the Dungeons and Dragons people who used to get so involved in their character because their life was shit? So they're like, well, I'm a 13-year-old nerd and everybody picks on me in school, but I'm Olgar the Barbarian. I'm invincible and I've killed 15 frost giants. And then you start to become like, that is me because I like that guy better. Well, that's what these wrestlers are doing all of a sudden. I am this person. No, you're not. No, you're not. And you shouldn't be preaching your own political ideologies as that person. Because you're not him. See, what a good actor would do is say, well, what would my character believe? Doesn't matter what I believe. Matters what my character would believe. But you don't even do that. You expose yourself to the point where you're basically telling fans, I'm not the person I'm pretending to be when I'm in the ring. However, when I'm in the ring, I want you to play along with it and pretend I really am that person, even though the second I leave, I'm not going to be that person, and I'm going to clearly show you I'm not that person. That hurt wrestling so bad. That's why MJF was a breath of fresh air, because MJF was saying, look, on the outside of the ring, when I meet fans, I'm going to act like the character. So they really think, I think that's him. That's the way it always should have been with all of them. But I don't see MJF on his Instagram account or social media saying, if you're pro-life or you're pro-choice, you're an idiot. I don't see him doing that. Now, I've taken him to task because I think what he did with the contract is abysmal, Todd, but he's not doing what the rest of them are doing.
Absolutely right there. Like you said, we never seen that before when wanted more money signing a contract with another contract before. Like you said, it's weird.
I mean, you can request it, and you can say, I'd really love to, I will sign a longer-term contract with you. See, that's a negotiation point. You can say, my contract's up in a year. I don't know if I'm going to re-sign with you, but I'll tell you this. I'll sign a one-year extension if you up my salary of my current contract. That is a bargaining tool, and that's acceptable. What's not acceptable is, I'm not signing anything, but I just want a raise, or I'm not performing. Well, no, you're violating the contract then. Mike, you know, and look at Sasha and Naomi. We didn't get our way, so we're just going to walk out. If this continues to happen in professional wrestling, there isn't going to be any professional wrestling, Mike.
Right, and think about it this way. Randy Orton has done some pretty reprehensible things in terms of away from the ring. You know, we can go down the list of what he just done and all that stuff. But and we've done that ad nauseum. Even injured, who's one of the most popular people in the WWE?
Yeah, absolutely. But here's what he's not done. He's not taken to Twitter to call fans who disagree with his political ideologies morons. So you can be smart that way. But we are raising a society now, and the wrestlers reflect that because wrestlers are just a part of society. We are raising a society to be non-inclusive. In other words, your best buddy, your next-door neighbor who you barbecue with, and your kids play together, and you go fishing with sometimes, and you find out, well, I voted for Trump, and you say, okay, well, then that's it. My kids are not playing with your kids. You're not welcome at my house. You're not welcome at my fishing trip. Why? Why is that? Because they disagree with you? Maybe you're wrong. See, this is the problem, folks. We all have the right to our own belief. We don't have the right to say you must believe it too, or I am going to vilify you, cost you your job, ruin the company's investment in me, and that's what you're doing. Okay? That's what you're doing. If a company invests big money in you, say a company says, say I have the number one wrestling show in the world, which I should have. How's that for being humble? Say I have the number one wrestling show in the world, and I don't know, Monster Energy Drink says, we want to sponsor you. So before every show, you say, I drink Monster Energy Drink during my show, which happens to be true. How about if I get on the air and say something as outrageous as, if you don't believe and vote for the candidate I tell you to, you're a schmuck. Monster Energy Drink is going to say, hold the phone, my friend. You've just cost us I don't know how much in advertising because we advertised with you and now half of your audience ain't going to buy our product because you just basically pissed them off. You're supposed to sell our stuff, not isolate our potential customer base. Well, that's the same thing with WWE. If you're Becky Lynch or Seth Rollins or whoever you happen to be, your job is to increase that fan base any way you can, not isolate it. The more people you can bring to the party, the more valuable you are to the WWE. And if you isolate half of them, Mike, you're doing just exactly the opposite. You're costing your company revenue.
Right, and think of it this way. If Becky Lynch wants to say something, but she says it under the name, I don't know, Rebecca Quinn, which is her real name, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, that's okay, because she's saying, she's not saying it as Becky Lynch. She's saying it as herself, Rebecca Quinn. You know, well, it'd be Rebecca whatever, right now it'd be Rebecca whatever Seth Rollins' real last name is. I don't, I'd have to go look that up, but you get the point, right? So, yeah, if they want to do that, and really, people, these companies aren't hiring them as, you know, I've seen, what's the name of it? Bianca Belair, whose name is not Bianca Belair, it's whatever it is. But as Bianca Belair, she does the, I guess it's DoorDash or one of these things that delivers food to people. Uber Eats, I think it is. Yeah, it's Uber Eats. And she does a commercial for Uber Eats. And they don't pay her to do it under her real name. They pay for the character to do it.
That's exactly right. And that's why you can't use, you're exactly right, and that's why you can't use the character to espouse your beliefs, because you are then turning your back on the people who's paying you the money because you're not doing the job. It's exactly correct. That's exactly correct. Now, I'd still be against it if Rebecca Quinn puts on her own account, fans are idiots if they don't believe me. That's, you don't call your own fan base idiots. That's just self-destructive, and I don't understand it. Why do you care? There are fans of professional wrestling who believe it's real. Do you call them idiots? There are fans of professional wrestling who are going to go home and beat their wife or beat their children. You don't know. You don't know. There are fans of professional wrestling who are going to shoot up on drugs or sell drugs or rape somebody or do horrible things, but they're professional wrestling fans. You don't know. So when you're out there performing, you don't know who you're performing to. So why in the world do you care what they think? It doesn't make any logical sense. That person in the I'm the man t-shirt who is rooting for Becky Lynch and putting money in your pocket could be a drug dealer who's responsible for how many deaths. Are you proud of that? Oh, you're not? Okay. Well, the same holds true. Maybe there's a fan out there who likes you very much, but he doesn't agree with your political ideology. But that's the person you're going to go after. That's the person you're going to call names. That doesn't make any sense. Now, the reason I'm saying the professional wrestling world and WWE specifically is in trouble is for a few reasons. Number one, Vince McMahon is growing very, very old and obviously weak. We've seen it. He can jump off those stairs all he wants. Vince McMahon is growing weaker and weaker. Vince McMahon is not going to be cognitively able to run this company pretty soon. And the wolves are circling. And you can see the wolves circling. Whether it be Nick Khan or whether it be Triple H and Stephanie trying to get their hands in it or whether it try to be Bruce Pritchard, I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know that it won't be Vince McMahon's baby anymore. And when it's not, it's going to fundamentally change to be exactly what the rest of wrestling is. Vince McMahon, whether you agree with his decisions, and many times I don't, or you disagree with his decisions, has made that product at least different than everything else. It's not cookie cutter the same as all the other wrestling federations. It will be. Now, you can all herald, oh, hey, Triple H is back in NXT. Yay, yay, yay. Triple H is going to save NXT. Triple H couldn't get NXT above AEW ratings. Triple H's NXT was failing. He couldn't beat AEW. And AEW wasn't lighting the world up. He couldn't beat 600,000, 700,000 some weeks. He's going to save it? If he ran the WWE like he ran NXT am I supposed to think the WWE is going to get 2.5 million ratings, or am I supposed to think they're going to get NXT style ratings or something in between? I don't see the next Vince McMahon. I don't see someone who literally, I say, I have full confidence can take this brand and at least keep it on that level, if not send it to a new level. I don't have any confidence in that. None. Zero. So that's something we have to discuss too, Todd, is what happens when Vince McMahon no longer is capable of running this company.
You're absolutely right there, like you said. Well, like you said, with Triple H, when he was running NXT, the ratings were not that great. How are you going to make that great now?
That's exactly correct. Why am I supposed to think that this is all going to turn around because Triple H came back? I'm glad he's healthy. I'm glad he's well, and I'm glad he's a part of it. But I don't think this is going to, all of a sudden, you're going to see 950,000 people watching NXT. I doubt it. Never did before when he was there. Why now? So I don't think Triple H at the helm of WWE or Stephanie McMahon at the helm of WWE is going to lead them into an even better position than they would be now. I don't see that. And Nick Khan's not a wrestling guy. He's just a businessman, so that's not going to happen. So who is going to take over? And this is something that really they should be considering like now. Because I don't want to wish anybody any bad luck, but Vince McMahon is late into his 70s. He has obviously abused steroids. And could literally have a health flare-up or worse at any moment. At any moment. And then what happens? I don't know. See, that's the problem. So while we can say, for instance, if you happen to be holding stock in WWE, your money's probably safe. The reason your money's probably safe is I don't think this investigation is going to do much of anything. Number two, the WWE is basically inflation-proof. Their money is already guaranteed money. All their contracts, their TV deals, the Saudi Arabia deal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that's all guaranteed money. So it's not like, oh, well, all of a sudden we don't have as many fans coming to the show. It doesn't matter. At this stage, it really doesn't matter that much. The money's guaranteed for the next several years, so your stock is probably good. That's not what I'm talking about when I'm saying they're in trouble. What I'm saying is, in the foreseeable future, I don't see this federation having anyone at the helm who can take this to a next level. It's not going to be Stephanie McMahon. It sure as hell isn't going to be Nick Khan, and Triple H has not proven he could do it with NXT, so why would he be able to do it with WWE? So therein lies that problem. So now you've got all of these problems stacked up. Internal investigations into the company. Unhappy workers who were divided ideology-wise in the dressing room. People who really don't want to do it and are just into it for how much money do you want to give me and I'll make one more appearance if that's what you want. Or I'll come back for a giant contract, but I really am, my heart's not into it. You can't go forward with people like that. The inmates are now running the asylum, and I mean it sincerely. Because what you're ending up doing is you're just saying, go do what you want. You're going to be our big face. You're Cody Rhodes. Get on Instagram and tell people if they don't vote a certain way, they're idiots. Get on Instagram and say if they're... position is this on something, they're morons and scumbags, and isolate half your fan base so that we don't sell as many of your T-shirts, we don't move as much merchandise, we don't have as many people coming to see you, because that's always a good idea. On top of that, you have people who say, well, I don't really want to do it. At least Cody Rhodes wants to do it. And you have the internal issues. Because I guarantee some of these investigations are not about Vince McMahon having an affair when it's not even really an affair, because him and Linda were separated, just quietly separated, having a romantic relationship with an employee. That's not what these investigations are now. These investigations started out as that, and then some people came and spilled beans and said, John Laurinaitis forced me to do this, or I was told I need to do that, or this person's a pervert. Now everybody's like, okay, we're investigating all of this. The fact they waited years and years and years to say something and put up with it and signed multiple contracts during it doesn't seem to matter. So this is where we're at. So no matter what you say about the WWE's financial situation, which appears strong, their internal situation is not good. It's not good. And it's going to get worse. Because Brock Lesnar can't be brought back from mothballs every so often. His appeal's already gone. You heard one of the callers earlier say, I don't even care about it anymore. So there you go. His appeal is gone. Roman Reigns wants to be part-time now. Gets to the top where he wants to be and then says, yeah, I really don't want to do it. Thanks for telling us when we're giving you the ultimate push, thinking you're going to be around full-time for years, and then you just say, yeah, not so much. And I don't see anybody else. You want to put all your eggs in Cody Rhodes' basket? Okay. But Cody Rhodes hasn't proven he could do that even in AEW, so why do you think he can do it in WWE? He wasn't the top face in AEW. He wasn't even close. And he had a hand in the booking. So I don't see him as being that guy. He might be that guy for a year. He's not going to be that guy. He's just not going to be. Who is going to be? I don't see a single person. That's where we have the trouble, I think, with the future of the WWE. Is I don't see that person that's going to lead them into the next generation. I don't see the next Stone Cold. I don't see the next Rock. I don't see the next Triple H or Shawn Michaels. I don't see them. It doesn't mean that the guys they have there aren't talented. They're not that. Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Yes.
This is Fred.
So what's
going
on? You tell me.
Exactly who you are.
You know who I am?
You want to have a relationship with me, sir.
Okay. All right, we're going to not waste any more time with silliness. Look, here's the problem. If the WWE does not take steps now, and I mean right now, to solidify the future, I don't see the future. I don't see people who are going to draw for them. I don't see behind-the-scenes executives who are going to take them to the next level. You can say whatever you want about Vince McMahon. You can say he's the dirtiest businessman in the world. You can say he's a pervert. You can say he's whatever you want to say. But at the same time, he was a really, really shrewd businessman. Really shrewd. And he took his father's business and ran with it in a way that no one, not anyone in this wrestling business, I don't care who you talk to. You talk to the Jerry Jarretts. You talk to all these old-time promoters, and they would always tell you, Bill Watts and all these people, we never really thought wrestling would get much past, you know, a certain level of popularity. We figured it would be for a certain niche group of people, and yeah, we'd be able to sell out decent-sized arenas with big matches, but generally speaking, it was a niche business for a select group of people. It wasn't mainstream. It wasn't meant to be. Vince McMahon took that and made it so mainstream that you couldn't walk into a store without seeing wrestling merchandise all over the place. You couldn't reach into an ice cream bin without seeing WWE ice cream bars, WWE bandages, WWE coloring books, WWE everything. Everything. That shrewd businessman. He took that business and took it to a level no one in the wrestling business ever thought wrestling would ever achieve, ever. Ever. And when he decides to leave it behind, Mike, I don't see the person who's going to go forward with this and take it to those same levels.
I don't see it either. And here's the deal. And people who don't understand the history of wrestling don't understand it. Before he took it over from his dad, there was another company that was set up to do the exact same thing, except the owner of the company didn't want to do it, and that was WCCW. It was set up because it had television contracts with ESPN and all this other stuff that were out there, and they were getting big. But Fritz didn't want it. Fritz Von Erich didn't want it. Now his son, particularly Kevin, and a lot of the commentators that were there wanted it. A lot of the bookers that were underneath him wanted it, but he didn't want it. You know, so for them to get big, for WCW to get big, basically Kevin Von Erich would have had to done what Vince did with his father's company and buy it out from under Fritz. You know, and I don't know if at the time Kevin wanted to do that, but again, that's where we were at the time, and this is where we are right now. It's going to be somebody. I mean, look, you know, when they hired, remember a few months back, about a year ago, whatever it was, when one show hired Paul Heyman and the other show hired from WCW, Eric Bischoff, right? Eric Bischoff, when he was hired by WCW, wasn't a wrestling guy. He was a business guy, right? He was
yes.
And he took that business and he ran with it, and it became to the point of the 83 straight week winning streak, right? It got big. No, that's right.
But then my point is, if Vince McMahon had never taken the wrestling business to the heights he took it, there wouldn't have been any WCW resurgence like that. WCW wasn't going to do that on their own. If Vince McMahon was still running shows in armories in front of 250 or 400 people, there wouldn't be any WCW's Bash at the Beach and things like that. Wasn't going to happen. When Vince McMahon invented this WrestleMania thing and literally took it to new heights, everyone in the wrestling business then said, well, we can do that too. But they didn't think of it, and they weren't about to implement it. It was Vince McMahon who did that. So without that, WCW wouldn't have even probably existed on that type of plane. There'd have been a small regional whatever. And you got to understand that, you know, back then wrestlers were getting paid crapola, some of them back in that time, a few hundred bucks to have a wrestling match at an armory somewhere. They weren't getting $1 million contracts for showing up occasionally. So it was a different sport. It's not even a sport. It was a different exhibition. It was a different business. Totally different business. Now, I'm not saying the wrestlers don't deserve more money. If the promoters are making more money, the wrestlers deserve more money. But at the end of the day, the wrestlers now, the theory behind most wrestlers are as follows. I'll show up, do exactly what I want to do, won't do anything that I don't want to do, take as many days off or as much time off as I want to do, and you'll pay me to do it. I don't know anybody else who gets that deal. That's not the way it works. You don't believe me that that's what they think? Naomi and Sasha were both headed toward pay-per-view matches with the champions. With the champions. They weren't going to win them. But they were heading toward major main event pay-per-view matches with the respective champions. And that wasn't good enough. I don't want to do that. I want you to rebuild the entire women's division. Let us beat everyone so we go down in history as the most wonderful, toughest tag team in the world, or I'm taking my ball and I'm going home, even though you're paying me. You can't have that. You can't have that. And then you have guys like MJF saying, well, I didn't know I was going to be this big. And now that I am this big, I want more money or I'm not doing anything. I think I told you, as a musician, I read a lot about musical acts, and I'm sure people have heard of the band Boston. Their first album, according to one of the members, they sold so many copies that literally for years and years and years, that first album was still on the charts. Not just the year it came out, 4 years after. It made a mint for the record companies. You know what this guy said? We barely made enough to buy ourselves a house. Because we had a contract, and that contract said this is how much money you make, and it wasn't much. Now, the second album, because they only had a one-record deal, second album, they held out and said, well, look how much our first album sold. You better put a whole bunch of zeros in front of that contract, or we'll find a record company who will. So then on the second album, which really didn't do that well, they made a mint. But they didn't say, oh, this album's selling more than we thought. Hey, record company, we want you to double our agreement. You can't do that. You can't do that. I guess you can if Tony Khan's willing, because Tony Khan's a wuss. Okay, all right, I just want everybody to be happy and be my friend. But you're killing the business. Because now you've opened the door so that everyone can say, well, I don't know. MJF did it. If he did it, why can't I do it? So you know what that's going to do? That's going to prevent people from signing people. Because you're going to say, well, wait a minute. If I sign this guy who I think is very talented and he takes off, he's going to do the same thing MJF does and cost me a whole bunch of money that I really don't want to pay him, so maybe I just won't sign him. Maybe I'll just pass on this guy. Maybe I won't promote him so heavily. Maybe I'll make sure he doesn't quite get to that level. That's good for the business. Of course it's not good for the business. So that's why I'm saying even the business is in trouble. WWE specifically is in more trouble. Because despite the fact that AEW doesn't come close to the ratings, AEW has nowhere to go but up. WWE can fall in a heartbeat. And right now, when I'm seeing guys like Brock Lesnar being brought back, who fans really don't care about, when I see Roman Reigns, who now is basically the whole WWE in a nutshell, saying, I don't want to do it much anymore. I'm going to be gone soon. Not only that, but announces it. I don't know how much longer I'm going to see you guys. Okay, that's great. Thank you. Who are we supposed to turn to? Madcap Moss? Is that the guy you think is going to be your future? Gunther, who has the personality of no one. Gunther is a good wrestler. The minute he gets beat, it's over. The minute somebody whoops his ass, it's over. Right now you're promoting him well. As soon as somebody whips his ass, people are going to say, okay, whatever. On to the next guy. You need personalities. He didn't have one. He has a gimmick where he has a guy come out and talk for him, and he aggravates you because he's anti-American, and we get it. But that's a one-trick pony because when he loses and gets his ass handed to him, it's done. You need people with real personalities who you haven't ruined. Now, you have some people with real personalities, but you ruined them. Kevin Owens has a real personality. You've ruined him. The Miz has a real personality. You've ruined him. Elias has a real personality. You've ruined him. Bray Wyatt doesn't want to do it anymore. I don't know what you're going to do or who you're going to turn to. It ain't going to be Sami Zayn. It's not going to be Nakamura. Who's it going to be? You tell me. They're putting all their eggs in the basket of Theory, I guess. You know, Theory is a very, very gifted wrestler and very good at what he does. And he has the potential to be a long-term superstar, yes. but he needs people to go up against. He needs, you know, either whether he's going to be a face or a heel, he needs the opposition. Vince McMahon needed Stone Cold. Stone Cold needed Vince McMahon, you know. It's the way it works. And I don't see anybody, Todd. I don't see that person that's going to, you know, be the next Stone Cold.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I don't see anybody as the next Stone Cold Steve Austin or a next Rock or a next Hulk Hogan or any of those guys. Who we have?
Nobody. That's my point. That's my point, Mike, and that's why I'm saying financially the WWE can take it, can show their shareholders, look, we're very, you know, we're doing very well financially. But that doesn't mean internally you're doing very well. And I can see this product with the potential to go downhill in the blink of an eye. I was talking to a friend the other day, and he said, what do you think would happen, God forbid, what do you think would happen if Roman Reigns got seriously injured or had another bout with his leukemia and just had to say, I'm done? What do you think would happen? And I said, Jesus Christ, it would be a disaster. You don't have anybody. The gimmick with the bloodline would fall apart. The Usos would go back to being a very gifted team, but nobody's interested. I don't know what you'd do. I mean, we're at the point now where SmackDown's bringing back the Viking Raiders, who you made comic book characters and comedy characters, and were supposed to be vicious, hard-to-beat Vikings now. Really? Because I remember you when you were doing shit with the Street Profits, and it was the Three Stooges. It's too late to make them that now. It's too late. We remember when they were getting their ass whooped by everybody. We remember when they were the Viking version of the Bushwhackers. It's too late. No one's buying into it. It's going to be hard, Mike, going forward, for the WWE to establish any real main event talent that is going to really draw and take them into the next generation.
Right. I mean, and it's even worse on the women's side. Think about it. You have people like Asuka, who's got a personality. Yeah, even though you don't like her, people may not like Ronda Rousey, she's gotten better. She's got a personality, this, that, and the other. But when you got people that are on the sideline that are obviously ready to come back, that have personalities, that can have personalities, but you're not bringing them back, Bailey, you know, what are we supposed to think?
I honestly don't know what they want us to think. That's the problem. Now, over in AEW, there's almost the opposite thing. You've got so many people that you can't really adequately promote any of them, so they're all just sort of like, yeah, cool. But nobody's like that big, giant superstar. Think about John Cena for a minute. I don't care if you hate John Cena. There was once upon a time when we said, will there ever be another Hulk Hogan? Will there ever be anybody who sells as much merchandise and is so popular and their face is on everything? Yeah, John Cena. Where's that next guy? I don't see him. I do not see them. Big problem. And if you think bringing back Brock Lesnar or bringing back the Viking Raiders or whoever, that's going to help. It's not going to help. You need to do this now. You need to start building people now. It's not Veer Mahan. He's not going to fly. You know who Veer Mahan is? I'll tell you exactly who Veer Mahan is. In the heyday, Veer Mahan would have been a guy that you brought in and let mangle everybody he fought on his way to fighting The Undertaker at WrestleMania and losing, never to be seen again. That's who Veer Mahan is. Or the guy who ends up fighting John Cena in a battle of the United States versus whatever, and John Cena whoops his ass and never to be seen again. That's who Veer Mahan is. He's not going to take you anywhere. He's not going to take you to the next level. You got one shot with a guy. You got theory. He might be somebody. And that's it. Guys like Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn getting older. They're not going to be around forever. AJ Styles and those people, they're great, but, you know, they're quite a bit older. They ain't going to be around forever. Who's that next generation? Show me that guy. Omos, is that I mean, come on. Bobby Lashley, it's not going to work. They don't have that charisma. They don't have that drawing power. So now you have all these things going against you if you're the WWE, between investigations, trouble in the dressing room, wrestlers isolating half of your fan base. You have no actual real build-up for the next big superstar. I'm saying to myself, you're damn lucky you're doing these type of ratings. You're damn lucky. And you're lucky you haven't had more injuries than you have. Now there's people saying, what about Riddle? Riddle's not going to – Riddle on his own is not going to take you to any new levels. There was definitely a chemistry between him and Randy Orton, and that was a palatable chemistry that worked. And if Randy Orton comes back and they continue to have that chemistry, they could take the tag team division into another level for a little while. Randy Orton's getting older. He don't want to do it full-time anymore, if at all. But Riddle on his own is not going to do it, because that gimmick gets old when it isn't offset by somebody else's serious gimmick. When it's just Riddle on the microphone doing his Sean Penn in Fast Times at Ridgemont High impersonation, it gets old. Randy Orton was able to offset that, and the combination worked. And I've seen you ruin people that you could have had. Angel Garza was a very, very strong possibility of stepping up to being your new Latino sort of, what do you want to call him, anti-hero, you know, the guy who's like, well, he's a bad guy, but most people root for him. The Eddie Guerrero type. You had a chance with him. You blew it. I have no faith that you know how to build up anybody really, really well. You're building up Gunther and you're building up Veer Mahan for which, please tell me, for which major face to go over? Which major face are you building up Veer Mahan for? You don't have one. Which major face are you building up Gunther for? You don't have one. You should be building up faces. Your champion's a heel. Anyway, brief word on SmackDown. I hate, hate, hate when they do this. Oh, we're going to take Sheamus and Drew McIntyre out of Money in the Bank. I overstepped my bounds. However, we're going to have a match tonight, and if you beat the Usos, you're back in Money in the Bank. If you can coexist. And that's our main event. Well, that's interesting since you started the program with no main event. That's how you started the program. I hate when they do that. And then it's just the same result. Oh, you won? Okay, you're back in. Well, let me explain something. We started out with them in and we ended up with them in, so that went nowhere. Number two, if the Usos are so tough and they're blood brothers and they're just, you know, we're the bloodline. We grew up together. Every move we make, we know. Sheamus and Drew McIntyre barely coexist, and they beat you. You barely coexist, and they beat you. So how good are the Usos? In the storyline, how good are the Usos? Looks like they can't really take on really serious competition. Paper champions, as long as you feed us average tag team's fine, but if you feed us a couple of superstars who are solo superstars on their own, oh, we can't handle them. Okay, well, then you've ruined the Usos. The only bright light on this show was Natty and Ronda Rousey really getting ugly, even though I know they're best friends, but it was funny to hear Ronda Rousey come out and said, I didn't recognize you without your rack hanging out. And I didn't happen to deform my body to suit some kind of industry beauty standards that are unobtainable. And then tell her, dressed up as me is the closest you're going to get to being a WWE main eventer because you on your own. That ain't never happening, despite the fact that you're a harp. Those are pretty brutal. She did a pretty good job. She's not a good actress. She doesn't deliver her lines well, but the lines were well written. I'm sure she didn't write them. But the lines were well written. But other than that, Mike, this SmackDown was pretty weird.
Right, and look, we've said it. We've said it. She's getting, Ronda Rousey's getting better. I mean, it's still not good, but it's better than it was, you know, with her. And that's the thing, and it helps that she works with somebody she likes. I mean, obviously, look, we talked about how good that match was between her and Charlotte, right? And right now, I think, I don't know how long Charlotte's going to be away, but they need Charlotte back desperately, right?
Yeah,
they
I would say.
They need her back in a bad way, you know? When you're, I don't want to say scraping the bottom of the barrel, because obviously Natty's a qualified person. I mean, she's been around a while, she's trained, she's good, but she's not, they haven't been promoting her as that world-beating, world champion type, right? And we know she's not going to win the match because they probably want that Charlotte rematch, right? That Charlotte-Ronda rematch. Yeah, so we know she's not going to win the match, so we know the results of the match is going to be. So, I mean, I care about Ronda Rousey, but I don't care about this match because we know the results.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. I mean, and Ronda Rousey's not your – she's better than she was. She's definitely improved. She's not going to stick around. When this year contract's up, her kid's going to be, what, 1.5 or 2? She's going to take off. She doesn't love professional wrestling. See, that's a problem. That's a problem. When you have a lot of people like a Brock Lesnar, a Ronda Rousey, maybe now Roman Reigns, who's basically saying, want to do other things. I want to move on. That's not good. That's not good. And when you have other guys like AJ Styles, who's getting to the point where he's not going to wrestle much longer, saying, well, I just want to be moved to the back. Okay, well, that could be good, but that's not going to help the in-ring talent. So you've got to have in-ring talent that's hungry and want it, and that you're promoting. I don't see it. I honestly don't. This is a major problem for the WWE. And any one of these things is not going to bring down the WWE. But all of them combined, in my opinion, is a very dangerous situation for the WWE. You know, as I speak, there are wrestlers in that dressing room who totally disagree with what some of them wrote about Kane. You know that. Then there are some who agree that Kane's opinion is wrong, but also agree that they're wrong for posting that. Then there are those who think Kane's absolutely right, and these people are chuckleheads. And you're supposed to have a tight camaraderie with these people? So that makes the dressing room, you know, in turmoil to an extent. Then you have the internal investigations where people are coming out and making allegations, and that puts the dressing room in turmoil, as well as the management in turmoil. Vince McMahon stepping down temporarily as CEO, Triple H returning, people going in, people going out, Laurinaitis is out, somebody else is in. That puts them in turmoil. The fact that they don't really have a solid grasp on who's going to be the stars of the future, and a lot of the guys who currently are the main eventers are either part-timers or looking to retire, that puts it in turmoil. Heading back down to Saudi Arabia at a time when Saudi Arabia basically gave the Americans the middle finger and said, fuck you and your gas, we're not gonna up our production for you. That's going to isolate people. We've got a problem. You've got to return to the days where the wrestlers just wrestle and shut your mouth. Keep your personal opinions to your friends and family and your personal accounts. Go out there and engage all of your fan base, not a third of them. And the WWE's got to return to a solid management who says we have a long-term plan to promote people. We have a long-term plan for where we want our future to be and who's going to be the top guys in that future. When you still got guys back there saying, you think Stone Cold's got one more match in him? Do you think The Undertaker's really retired? How long is Brock going to be here? You can't do this. You cannot do this. You've got to have that future ready to go, and you don't. You don't. All of these factors together, it's bad news, in my opinion, for the WWE. This next, well, let's put it this way. The rest of 2022 is critical for WWE. What happens in these investigations? What happens with this turmoil of political ideology and political division? What happens with people who are saying, I'm no longer a fan, like myself? People not giving them the money? See, because here's what happens. When some of these toy companies say, we're going to license these action figures, and we're going to pay so much for this character and so much for that character and so much for this character, and they give the WWE a boatload full of money and they don't sell any toys. The next time it comes around, they tell the WWE, your shit ain't selling. We're not going to give you that much money, and nobody else is either. That's how that works. I had a friend write to me from Texas and tell me, AEW action figures in Walmart have been reduced from $19.99 to $12 because they're not selling. Remember when they were flying off the shelves and you couldn't find an AEW figure? Now he's telling me, my God, they're all peg warmers down here. There's a million action figures. They've been reduced to $12.99. They're still sitting here. That's because people ain't buying them. People might be watching the product, but at the same token, people are saying, look, I'm not going to spend money and put money in the pockets, literally, of people who hate me, who think I'm an idiot, who call me names. Would you do that? If you walked into a deli to buy a sandwich, and every time you did, they say, hey, you ugly friggin' moron, idiot, scumbag, loser, where'd you crawl out of the gutter from? I suppose you're expecting a sandwich, huh? I really wish you'd starve to death, but I suppose I'll feed you if you got the money. Would you keep going back to that deli? That's why I tell you, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not doing it. Keep your live events. Keep your T-shirts. Keep your action figures. Keep your memorabilia. I'll watch you on TV, and I will be an analyst, and I will be an observer of the business. But I will not be a fan until wrestling returns to being professional wrestling. Right now, it's not that. Right now, it's a bunch of angry Karens and elitists and snobs who think that their self-importance is so elevated that they literally think they have a right to dictate to you not only about the business that they're in, but about politics, religion, social issues, whatever it happens to be. They think they are your masters. We will tell you what to think, and then you will come and applaud me and buy my gimmick. No, I will not. You've just lost one. And I got news. If you lost me, I had a guy say to me the other day, Marcus, I've known you for many years. And if they lost you, then how many other people? Because I would thought you would go to on your deathbed, the first thing you'd be saying is, who won WrestleMania? That's how into it I was. And you did lose me. Because I'm done. I'm fed up with this nonsense. It's not fun anymore. It's just a constant barrage that has nothing to do with professional wrestling. I'm just done with that nonsense. I get enough of that in the news. I don't need it from Becky Lynch. I don't need it from Seth Rollins. I don't need it from Britt Baker. I don't need it from Paige. If I want to take lessons on morality from Paige, who thinks it's perfectly okay to screw another man while her boyfriend is talking to her online or on the phone and then release it as a porno film, I'll let her know. I'm not taking any morality lessons from Paige. Excuse me. So I'm done. And if I am, other people are. So the ratings may stay up, but let's see how the merchandise goes. Let's see how the gimmicks go at the indie tables, you know, when indie wrestlers decide, I'm going to mouth off about this. And if you don't agree with me, you can stay the fuck out of my show. Yeah, I'll gladly stay the fuck out of your show. Because you ain't worth my time anymore. It's so ridiculous and so self-destructive. It, honest to God, makes me laugh. Because I say to myself, how ignorant can they be? And they're so self-confident that they're smart. When someone shows their ignorance, while all the while proclaiming their intelligence, that's more than I can bear, Tom. So that's my feeling.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's been to the point. It's just getting way out of hand now. It's almost to the point where I can say sometimes, like, I don't want to watch because of them.
Right. Right, exactly. So now I'm supposed to watch and root for people who clearly say, if you believe what Cain believes, you're lower than dirt. Okay, you've just called me lower than dirt because I believe what Cain believes. Why does that make me evil? Well, I can't be your fan and do that. Fine, I'm not your fan. Fine, I won't buy your action figure. I won't buy your T-shirt. I won't come see you wrestle. I won't put money in your pocket. That's a smart thing. Maybe we should start doing that with businesses, right? Here's a pizza shop for people who voted left. Here's a pizza shop for people who voted right. Is this what we're going to do as a country? If Vince McMahon were still 50 years old, he would put these people in their place so quick their head would spin. Because these hypocrites, all the while, they're espousing how you believe this, then you are terrible. What do you think Vince McMahon believes? Vince McMahon's been a Republican his whole life and a conservative. Vince McMahon's very close friends with Donald Trump, and he's signing your paycheck. So you're taking the money from him. So if you really had the strength of your convictions, you would say, I will not work for a company like this. But you won't do that. Because that affects you. Because you're all cowards. I knew wrestling was going downhill when the new generations of people were coming up in the indies, and they were saying things like, if a fan has never been in the ring, then I don't think they have the right to tell me my match sucked. Meanwhile, that same wrestler goes out to the pizzeria before the match and says, this pizzeria sucks. Have you ever made pizza? Goes to see the new Marvel movie and say, that Marvel movie sucked. Really? Have you ever made a movie? Are you an actor? Oh, this football team, they should have done this. This football team made the wrong call. Really? Are you a head coach? So you can do it. But God forbid your fans do it. You're all dumb as a brick. And I know I'll lose friends over this that are indie workers. I don't care. Because I won't be the one who ends the friendship. They will be. Because they cannot stand to have the mirror turned around so they can look at themselves and see what they've really become. Which is not a boon to this industry, which is not helping to take wrestling to the next generation. It's slowing it down and killing it by doing it. That's what's happening. Oh, they won't admit it, but that's exactly what's happening. I see less and less interest in professional wrestling. When's the last time you went into like a Target or a Walmart, you saw a whole bunch of wrestling T-shirts? I haven't seen them. Places like Hot Topic and stuff that used to carry all of them. Now you know what they're carrying? The Macho Man, Stone Cold. Oh, why? Because those are the only people anybody cared about for how many years? How long has it been? And you're still selling those T-shirts. That should tell you something, huh? When the new Elite line comes out of WWE wrestlers, you're like, oh, there's the new Undertaker. There's a new John Cena. Why would anybody want a new Undertaker and a John Cena? Why would they want that? How come you're still making those? Those are the questions you need to ask yourself. And all of you indie workers, I know you bust your ass. I'm not stupid. I know what you go through. I know half of you are working for $25 and a fucking hot dog. I get it. I have to help set up the ring. I have to help tear down the ring. I get $20 if I'm lucky and it doesn't cover my gas, and I might even have to pay for my own food at the concession stand. I get it. But then if you want to go forward in this business, you don't isolate half of your fan base. You accept the fans for who they are and let them be their own person. Correct? And remember, when you're playing a character, you are that character. Characters should be apolitical, non-religious, shouldn't have, unless it is your character, to be that, like a Zeb Coulter or whatever. But if your character has nothing to do with that, don't say anything about it. It's not your business to say, before the match, I'd just like to say that the Supreme Court, it was wrong. I don't want to hear it. Screw you and your feelings. Wrestle. That's what we paid to see. I don't care what your political beliefs are. I don't care what you ate for breakfast. I don't care whether you sleep with men or women. I don't give a damn. I'm here to watch you wrestle. Someone doesn't do something about this soon. I'm telling you right now. There's going to be any future because the people come out of the indies and the indies are going to die. I've stopped going to the indies. I'm tired of snowflake wrestlers telling me that I'm dumb when I clearly am more educated than them. I dropped out in eighth grade and pursued my dream to be a professional wrestler, and I think that the Gaza Strip is the adhesive side of a fucking maxi pad, but you're going to lecture me. I don't think so. Anyway, can the WWE reverse this? Can wrestling reverse this? Yes, by setting rules. If you use your Instagram account or your Twitter account or anything else that's officially the WWE's for any political ideologies or arguments with fans over theirs, you are fined $10,000. That's one. Number two, if I hear one incident, one, of any bullying in the dressing room because someone believes differently than you, you are on administrative leave. You're gone for 60 days. You're not getting paid. I don't care who you are. Number three, start telling your agents and your writers, we got to build the future now. Not tomorrow. Not what Steve Austin's doing this Wednesday. Can we get him on the horn to come Saturday for a pay-per-view? I don't want to see him anymore. I love the guy. I don't want to see him wrestle. I want the future. I want to see you build up people like you used to that I was interested in. And four, you better stop this nonsense of people backstage saying, oh, I'm a 50-year-old man who has the power to fire these girls, so I get to do all kinds of flirting with them, and they can't resist me because then I will just not promote them. Fire that man. And if it happens to be Vince McMahon himself, well, then these women should immediately quit and go to the authorities about it for sexual harassment. That's all that needs to happen. Not a lot. And it should happen at once. And it should happen from the indies on up. If I'm an indie promoter and a wrestler comes and says, well, I'm wearing a vote for Trump sticker on my tights and that's not my gimmick. Okay, you're never going to be used again and I'm paying you. Go pound salt up your ass. If you take the microphone and say, I just want to say a few words about the Supreme Court's ruling, you're fired. You're never going to work for me again and I'm not paying you. And if you're fans, you got to have the balls to go up to these people at their gimmick table and say, I would appreciate it if you didn't lecture me on what my ideology should be. You think I won't do it? Oh, I'll do it. The bottom line, folks, is it's a privilege and an honor to be in this business. Not everybody can be. Not everybody will be. And some people who desperately wanted to be will never be. You got there. Stop isolating half of your fan base. Stop being a schmuck. stop playing into this divide and conquer nonsense and start doing what you were originally so in love with professional wrestling to do, and that is to entertain the crowd. What part of that is wrong, Mike?
Yeah, I agree with you, you know. Marcus, I agree with you. And look, to your point about what needs to be said by these promoters and stuff and CEOs and stuff of these companies, the problem is Vince may not have the cognitive abilities to do that stuff. They need somebody with the cognitive abilities to make that – make those statements and make it stick. And if it and they have to have experience in the business to do it. I mean, it cannot come from a Nick Khan, right, who doesn't know the wrestling business from China. He's a businessman, but he doesn't know the wrestling business. Now, if they're going to do what they're going to do with Stephanie and make her the temporary CEO, right, you know, it could come from her, and it would carry weight because she's been in the business, right?
Yeah, but I don't think she's going to do it because I think her and Triple H are too worried about, we want to be seen as all-inclusive and wonderful. And you want to wear a pro-choice sticker on your outfit tonight? Go ahead. Oh, you want to wear a pro-life one? No, I'm sorry. That would be offensive. Well, what are you talking about? That's the ultimate hypocrisy. I mean, no matter what, if somebody came out there and said, I want to wear a Let's Go Trump sticker, then somebody should be able to wear a Let's Go Biden sticker. That's fair. Somebody wants to promote something, somebody should be able to promote the exact opposite. And if you don't, then you're choosing sides. You're choosing the winners and losers as far as the your ideologies are concerned, and that is not good because I got news for you. And your fan base has shifted. Your fan base used to be a whole bunch of people who were really into wrestling, and now it's just a whole bunch of soy boys. Now it's just a whole bunch of nerds. Now it's just a whole bunch of former Dungeons & Dragons players saying, ain't that neat? And they've never been in a fight in their life, and they wouldn't know one if it spit on them. So that's the problem, folks, and we're just going to have to see what happens with wrestling. But I'm telling you, WWE's got some issues, and this is not as clear-cut as you think. But I want to know what's going to happen to WWE in 2023 because it ain't looking good. It ain't looking good. Anyway, we'll see you Tuesday. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.